This meeting is now being recorded.
So thank you for joining the Latin Generation Panel call on 3rd of October 2017. We have Bill, Jean-Paul, Mats, Mariana, Michael, Mikal, Pitinan, and Sarmat on the call. So over to you, Mariana.
Okay, you've seen my agenda. I proposed some agenda yesterday with the wrong date. but after that, I corrected the date. My opinion is that we first should start about discussing our next face-to-face meeting because it will last shorter, I mean, and it is also very important point for discussion. Because we have to choose the place and the time when this meeting will be held, and Sarma needs at least 3 months to organize this meeting. On the other hand, I forgot to check with people here in Belgrade because we had some changes in management in the registry of national internet domain of Serbia. So I'm not sure could we organize the meeting in Belgrade, although last time Sarma had problems to get visa for Belgrade. That's why we have chosen Istanbul instead. And Sarma didn't get visa for Istanbul, so we had a meeting without him. But we have done a lot of things. I mean, a lot of tasks we have fulfilled up to now. And it is the time to plan the next face-to-face meeting to finish somehow or wrap up our work. So, Sarmad, I think I can give the floor to you if you have something to say.
Please.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mariana. So, yes, as Mariana was saying, a couple of things. So we do need some notice, and that's why I brought it up, that if you are currently considering having a meeting in December or January timeframe, because from the plan, it seems like that's when we will be finalizing our data analysis. So that may actually be a very good time to, regroup and discuss any open items around the data and plan for next steps. But in any case, obviously it's up to the Latin Generation Panel to decide when they want to have it. But it's good if we know the date in advance, and it's also good for everybody else because then we can lock in a particular week, and everybody then can make themselves available for that. As far as the place is concerned, we would normally suggest one of the regional offices for meetings because Istanbul is very convenient because it's for most of us it's a single hop flight, which means that it's convenient to get to, and it's also obviously more economical to get to, and we have local facilities where we actually have office space and local hospitality, because sometimes we also need invitation letters and all those things too for people to get visas and travel. So again, my initial suggestion was that we meet in Istanbul. Time would be something that you all need to suggest. But in any case, I guess I'll leave those details for you to discuss as well. So let me stop here and hand it back to you, Mariana. Thank you.
Okay, let's first try to discuss the term of our next meeting. I mean that the mid of December is not very suitable term because everybody will be in some festive mode, and it is better to postpone this meeting till the mid of January or after the 10th of January when all the holidays will be finished and we shall have enough strength to face the challenges for the future, for the face-to-face meeting. But that's my opinion. Any other opinion, please? Jean-Paul is typing something. Also, I have to add that Hazen also joined the meeting, but he is on fly and he will listen on only.
Yeah, for me, January is also better than December. Michael speaking here.
It is better?
Yes, January.
January, yeah. I think also that January is more relaxed than December. And, we have two voices for January.
We have 10, the next meeting of ICANN 61, is from 10th to 15th of March. So we can keep that in perspective as well, which means we could do even something in late January and early February, if that's what you think may also work.
Yeah. That's the good support for the January. So everybody's okay with the term in January. So Sarmad, you can note that we should start planning our meeting in January. And what about Istanbul?
Before you move forward, would you prefer early January or late January? What would work better?
My personal opinion.
Could we, for example, suggest a particular week which we can work with so that we can start doing some homework?
Yeah.
So
let,
are we,
let,
you know, are. Sorry,
let me look at the calendar because I'm not quite familiar what will, what look, yeah. January the 1st is Monday, 8th is Monday, so maybe this week from 15th of January.
15, some people may still be on holidays, so that's also something.
I think that all holidays are finishing until the 15th of January because 14th of January is the last holiday in January in Serbia, so maybe there are some other holidays after the 15th of January. But what do the other people think about it?
Yeah, late January is fine for me, Michael.
Michael, end of January is fine for you.
Yeah, end or middle would be fine for me too.
So there, right, so let's see if we have 3 weeks which are possible in January, which is week of 14, or week of 15, week of 22,
and
week of 29.
29, yeah. So I think it is better to start either 15th or 22nd of January because we shall have more time until the next ICANN meeting to do whatever it would be necessary to be done in this period because probably we shall have some conclusions after that meeting and probably some job has to be done if we are planning to finish or to get close to the end of our work. So it is better 15th or 22nd. What are your opinion? End of January is for March, okay. Mid-January March is okay. Jean-Paul, late January is good. So let's go to 22nd. Okay, 22nd of January is fine for everyone up to now. Okay. So, Sarmad, you have the term, I mean the date.
Right. So we'll plan. I will obviously have to check with the host.
Yes, with office.
I guess let's have that discussion. Is Istanbul generally okay with everybody?
Yeah, for me it is okay. The experience was good. The people are nice. The facility is quite okay. I mean, I have no objection about Istanbul.
For me, it's fine too, Michael.
Michael is also agrees for Istanbul.
So just because of local logistics support, it actually becomes very easy for us to manage meetings in Istanbul.
That worked fine. The last time was quite good.
Matt, asking how many days. I think we generally plan for about 2.5 days, but obviously it's up to all of you to decide. What I could do is in the meantime, I will check with the Istanbul office and see their availability, and then with for that week, and then I'll come back and confirm whether they're available during the whole week or whether if they have some
other activities
booking,
there. Yeah.
Then we can see whether they're available first part of the week or the second part of the week. But otherwise, we can decide which part of the week we can take. Would you want to book for 3 days and organize a meeting for 3 days? Would that work? 2.5 days, I guess that's what we did last time.
2 days, yes, but maybe we shall need some more time. I don't know. I'm not sure. 2.5 days last time was very intensive and a little bit short. We didn't touch every point, but I cannot judge now. Maybe 3 days is better to plan. I don't know. What is the opinion? Michael says 2.5 is fine. Jean-Paul is
so we have a choice right? Between 2.5 days of intense work versus 3 days of intense work.
Yeah. I think the
so
3 days will be more.
Even if you make it a bit longer, it would. I don't think it would become less intense. But yes, we get more done. So we can plan for 3 days. I guess that may probably make it more relaxed.
Yeah. I think so. Because I think so. At least we know each other now better. We are doing. We as a team work very well. I am very satisfied with it. So let's give us some more space to relax and to. Yeah, 3 days is okay for me, I think.
Jean-Paul also asked about Nairobi as an alternative to Istanbul.
Yeah, I'm sure I cannot travel to Nairobi for 3 days. It is too difficult for me to reach Nairobi. Last time I was trying to organize my, I think Sarmad offered me once to go to Nairobi. I had to travel 24 hours to Nairobi from Belgrade or something like this. It was awful, awful combination. And I'm too old to spend the 24 hours in the plane or on the airport. Sorry, Jean-Paul, I'm sorry, really. I'm not young anymore, and Istanbul is 1.5, 2 hours from my home. And if I have to choose between 2 hours and 24 hours, I will choose 2 hours. Sorry for it.
Okay, so then I'll do the rest of the homework, and I'll keep you all informed. I think what we are then, just to summarize, we're saying the week of 22nd January and in Istanbul. For 3 days.
Yeah. I think it is fine.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. At least we have finished the first topic of our agenda for today. My idea is because we have to submit our presentation still the 6th of October to Sarmad. For some logistic and organizational things which should be done for our meeting in Abu Dhabi. So I have prepared first draft of my presentation, and I asked, but I sent it yesterday morning, so I'm not sure that all people had time to look at it. I will appreciate very much if we look at it now. And please be as strong as in these discussions, because this presentation should represent all our work, which was not the small one, which we have done up to now. And I want to present our meeting, our panel, in the best view, let's say. So please comment it and help me to improve it, to give the right picture of our work, because I'm sure that we shall have some audience which should be informed very well about what we have done up to this meeting. Okay? I've used one of the templates Sarmad sent. And us, I like this kind of color. So, Look at it. Bill commented it a little bit, and thank you very much, Bill, for it. But please look at our, at this presentation and tell me what could be improved. This presentation has
Would you want me to synchronize this or unsync it? Let me know if you wanted to unsync it. Otherwise, everybody's seeing the same thing, Mariana, you're saying.
Oh, I have no experience with it, but please sync it. You mean that the screen is moving as I am pointing your, on my computer?
Yes,
you just mean,
exactly.
Please do it.
So currently it's synced. You want to keep it synced?
Michael said unsync. Why, Michael? That everybody can sync, can move the presentation as someone wants.
I think
right.
It's just,
so if we unsync,
it's quicker to look through it.
Sorry.
I said I think it's just quicker to skim through it if it's unsynced, but up to you.
Okay. I don't know really how to go through it through this topic, but. Okay, let's unsync if someone wants to scroll it faster and maybe give people a few moments to look at it and after that to discuss.
I'm sorry, what about syncing and unsyncing? I don't understand. Synchronized with what?
I've unsynced it, meaning that now each of you can scroll through the presentation and look at all the slides independently. It was synced before, which meant that nobody else could scroll it, only Mariana could scroll it.
So if I scroll it now, then it won't affect anyone else?
No.
Yes, that means something.
Everybody has their own view.
Yeah.
So this way, in the unsync mode, everybody can look at it themselves without really, sync means that whoever is presenting, whatever they're looking at, everybody is looking at the same thing.
Let's unsync it at this moment and give people a few moments to pass through it, and after that we can move together from slide by slide. Michael
I have a question. How long time is this supposed to take?
My presentation should take 5 minutes.
Oh, okay, so this is a 10-minute presentation.
Something like this. I have 15 slides, but some of them are, let's say, agendas, and maybe I can shorten it if it is necessary, but it was the initial plan. When I sent this agenda yesterday, I gave a plan how the time will be used during our presentation in Abu Dhabi. So I have two times about 5 minutes and some wrap up at the end of the whole meeting, which I didn't prepare at this moment because I don't know what will be the topics discussed during the meeting, and maybe I will have some idea because this is the first draft, and maybe I missed something in this presentation, which I will ask you to help me to improve it. And at the end, maybe I will have one or two slides with some conclusions after this meeting, which should be done. I can put some notes on this slides, but I'm not sure that they will look like this after the meeting. I mean, they will be prepared at the end of the meeting somehow or during the meeting.
So just to add that during the first session, the ID and program update session, you would have 5 to 7 minutes to present these slides. And in the separate session where you have the Latin generation panel, we have about one and a half hours, and this presentation is going to be part of the rest of the slides, which will be presented by that generation panel.
But my idea was to have the longer presentation, this one for 1 hour and a half session, and I will shorten it for this presentation, which should last 7 minutes or something like this during during some other meeting. I forgot the name of the meeting, but let's first face on the long one, and after that I will pick up some slides from this presentation, and in a discussion with you, Sarmad. I mean, we have managed somehow to have a shorter presentation.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, processing is Michael is asking. Michael, please don't look at some mistakes in typing because it will be corrected at the end. This is just the first draft. But the crucial things which are which could make a confusion, or the crucial things of our work which are missing from this presentation, they should be mentioned today in order to make this presentation most useful, and that this presentation present our work in the best way. Your question was, Michael, what means process MSR 2 code points not attested during language processing? Maybe I didn't say it in the right way, but when we are processing languages, we are attesting some MSR 2 code points looking from the language side. At the end, when we finish with our 180 languages, which we are close to finish it, let's say it will be finished in the next few weeks, we should discuss, shall we do something with EGIDS languages number 5? And when we finish all the processing of languages, there will be in MSR2 some code points which are not attested. I mean, we didn't find, we shall not find all code points in MSR2 in the languages we have processed. We have to do something with these code points. I mean, we have tried to find where these code points, in which languages are they used. And it will take some time, and I don't know exactly how many of code points will be there. So we have to have some opinion about these code points. At least that's my thinking, but maybe I'm wrong. I'm just posing the question.
I have a comment.
Yes, please. Please, Matt.
I don't see why we should try to hunt languages supporting code points, because the purpose of our work is to make sure that the languages are supported. And if it turns out that there are code points outside of what we have found, I mean, code points in MSR2 that we haven't seen, then that is not a problem for the languages. I think it's a larger problem for us if we find code points outside of MSR2 that are needed for the languages. Those are the challenges.
I agree with you.
So the code points that we don't find that are in MSR2, I don't see why we should bother.
Oh, maybe I'm a little bit I was thinking this way because when we started to, when I started to work with Latin GP, and when Chris was the chair, we have done the opposite job. I mean, we were looking in MSR2 code points, trying to find languages in which these code points are used. And there were some peculiar code points which are were very difficult to find. And some of them we couldn't find using the tools we have and the informations we had. I mean, it is difficult to find some peculiar code points in which languages they are used. I'm not sure that it is necessary to do. That's let's say, something which I inherited from the previous work. We can discuss it. Maybe it is not necessary to do it, or we should ask integration panel to see their opinion about it. I just have no idea how shall we finish it. Michael, please. You are first in the line, then after that, Mats.
Yes, thank you. I think that steps within our workflow or process is there, because originally we did have discussions about how to approach this whole analysis process, whether we should go code point by code point or language by language. And I think we had discussion which said that whatever way we choose, in the end, it should be equivalent. So I think this step of looking at those code points in MSR2, which we did not manage to find among languages, is kind of a double check to make sure that the results are equivalent. So I think in this sense, it is necessary, because the alternative was already discussed within the variance group, where I think Bill was mentioning that he felt sometimes that people maybe sometimes felt unsure about certain aspects of analysis, and that would be good to do a second pass on things. So whatever the case, I think we should look at things a second time to make sure that our analysis, that we didn't accidentally miss something. Thank you.
Mats? That's your turn now.
Thank you. I don't think it is equivalent, because if we had started with a code point, we would never have seen any code points outside MSR2. We would never have found those. And secondly, not only have code points to attest, we also have sequences that we attest, because we have non-space marks. And if we take all the normal letters and combine those with non-space marks, we get quite many combinations, quite many sequences, possible sequences. And we're not going to hunt to see if we can find some language that supports some possible sequence. I think it's a wrong way, and we discussed that. The right way is to start with the languages. We will find the characters that the languages need. We will find the sequences that the languages need. And those are the ones that we should focus on, not the ones that are leftovers, so to say, that we haven't found. Thank you.
This is really the question for the people who are expert in linguistics, not for me. But let's say, Michael, your hand is up, please.
I just want to comment on some of the chat questions. Bill asked about if there were documents to trace where integration panel based their MSR2 standard on. I assume they have an internal database, but in the end, it's also an educated guess they're taking. So they do not wish, from what I understand from the procedure, for them to make a definitive choice on what should be part of the LGR and what not. It's up to the generation panels to decide on that and to also come up with a method of how to approach things. However, they did say that, I think somewhere it was mentioned in this procedure that it was not necessarily our job to establish all kinds of code points. It just needed to be somehow systematic. So there was some paragraph which discussed this within the procedure. Thank you.
There were some comments in chat room. Sarmad Bill said, "Who create nothing where they found particular code points? For that, we would need to trace back the Unicode documents through which these code points were encoded. Bill, without that, the starting from MSR2 would be a horrible task." I somehow feel that we should try to verify all code points from MSR2, but I'm not an expert in this, and maybe we should ask, and maybe this could be one of things we could discuss during this meeting with the integration panel, people who will be present during our long presentation.
Rihanna, Bill has raised his hand.
Sorry, Bill, please. I didn't see your hand. Sorry, Bill. Please.
It just went up. My thought was, if we start with MSR2, essentially for each code point there, we would have to go through all of the languages in order to try and see if it occurs somewhere. And unless the people who created MSR2 already have something to tell us what languages to look at, we would be, it would take an enormous amount of work for every single one, and I think it's beyond anything we want to have as part of our scope. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bill, because when working with Chris, I have lost probably for some code points enormous hours to find in which languages are they used. And if these code points from MSR2, which are not attested during language processing, if we take the task to attest every MSR2 code point, it will be a very huge job. Yeah, I agree with you. But I don't know. Maybe we could find some middle solution to say, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yana, this is Sarmad. I'd like to...
Sarmad, please. I don't... Oh, sorry, because I didn't see your hand. Please, Sarmad.
Thank
what
you.
What was the experience of the Arabic panel? Maybe you had some experience with this kind of problem.
Right. So what I actually wanted to say was that the methodology which is proposed is an inclusion-based methodology. Which means that, basically the current methodology which LatinGP is following, which is to shortlist the languages which are relevant, and then through that process include all the code points, identify and include all the code points which are relevant, is a good inclusion-based methodology. I think that obviously works. What Mikal was saying was to double check to make sure. But in any case, I think the current methodology does, and I think it is not expected of the generation panel, from the integration panel, that they will actually try to find out the source of each and every code point. If, however, you do know, because, well, I'm just thinking, if even if you do know that a particular code point is used in one language, and that language is not included, we cannot say for sure that that code point is only used for that language and not for any other languages. So inclusion-based format, which we are using right now, I think works quite well, and I think that's thing which is something IP would also generally agree with. But you know, if there are alternative mechanisms, it's good to discuss those with IP as well, if you would like. Thank you.
Mats is typing that please note that the number of possible sequences is very large. I don't think that we should consider any sequences outside the scope of NSR2. Maybe some sequences which we found in the languages we had processed. On the other hand, an idea popped up to me in this during this discussion. We could try to use, to somehow compare the results of our work with the previous work which was done by, during the, Chris Dillon chairing of this panel. And if we find some of the code points attested in the previous version of the work, we could include it, but not to pass or to check every code point which is not attested during our processing of languages, because it really could take an enormous amount of time, and as Samad said, it is not somehow in the scope of our work. So there is a beeping noise interrupting my voice, but nothing is beeping here. I'm sorry. I don't hear anything. Oh, maybe some mail has arrived to my phone, so that's the beeping. Sorry for this. I didn't take, because I have mail on this phone. I'm using phone, usually, the Adobe Connect, voice from my country is not good enough. That's why I'm using usually phone. This beeping is from my phone.
May I comment?
Yes, please. Matt, please.
Yes, first, I didn't hear any beeping. It was only for you. Okay. But,
okay.
Please note that none of the sequences are available or are included in the MSR2. So the sequences are not there. The sequences are outside.
Okay.
We have a possibility of combination of normal letters and marks that create a large set of sequences that could possibly be included. But we are not going to hunt all those sequences to see if we can find them somewhere. It's against the idea of creating a list for the languages. So we go language by language and see what we find.
Yes.
And what is left after that, it's not included in our product.
Okay, I agree. Whatever the panel agrees, we are just discussing. But, okay, I will skip this line from my presentation. That will be the best way to overcome this situation. And if we have time, We could discuss this with the integration panel if they have no objection to what we have done up to the ICANN 60. There is no necessity to raise new questions and to put more burden on our shoulders. I mean, to do more work that we can do. Okay, Matt, I agree with you. We are not in a collision. We are just thinking a little bit about it. We have 15
minutes. May I comment on page 5?
Please.
On page 5, you say, at a glance, there are 279 MSR2 code points for attestation.
Yes.
There are 279 MSR code points that are possible for inclusion.
Okay. I have to. You see, I'm not I'm not so precise in my language. Okay. At a glance, there are 275 MSR code points for. What did you say for? For. Please.
Possible inclusion.
For possible inclusion.
Possible inclusion.
Okay. Thank you very much for this. Thank you. And I will drop this line from the presentation, which are talking about attesting and not attested code points from MSR2. That's fine for me. Any other comments? Because we have 10 minutes, and I would like to see, please, I will finish my presentation today or tomorrow, and I will send it again to the Latin GP list, the mailing list, and please find a few moments to look through it and to help me to improve it, because I might have, I might make some other mistakes. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Michael. We can just skip all this explanation about 279 MSR code points and just say there are 275 MSR2 code points. Okay, that's fine for me also. Please, if you have any idea that I have missed something from our work and that should be mentioned in my presentation, long presentation, please drop me a message. I will put it somewhere. I'll try. Michael, please. You have your hand is up.
Yes, thank you. I think the structure of the presentation is fine. I'm not sure if it's too long or something for the time slot. Prepared for you, but I think the structure and the contents is fine. The question is how it interacts with the other two presentations, from what I understand. And I would like to see those, if possible, at some point. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. I just tried. Yes, that's why I want to see. Matt didn't send any kind of presentation, because presentation from repertoire group and presentation from the variant group should be more complex or should take more time, but it depends on the presenters. And they have to explain exactly what we are doing, how we are doing our job, and what are the principles. That's the main thing. So I think that the principles for inclusion, for making the repertoire, and the principles for deciding what are the variants should be presented in a more detailed way, and to give the community the chance to comment it live and to see the reaction of integration panel during this meeting. That's my opinion, but maybe I'm not. I'm not, and I have also another question. I'm not sure that Dennis is Dennis coming to Abu Dhabi?
I'm not.
No, you are not. But maybe someone from Variant Group should be a presenter from the Variant Group product. Maybe Bill, or you can manage between four of you who will be presenting the work of Variant Group.
Yeah, Bill is going to be there. Yeah, he just confirmed he will be there and he can present.
Yeah, I know that Bill will be there and Michael also will be there. So you can discuss who will be the presenter from the Variant Group during one of your next Variant Group meetings. So you have let's Sarmat, please. Let's give a quick look to the material that Dennis has prepared for today's meeting, because we have 7 minutes more till the end of this meeting.
Dennis, you'd like to present maybe directly from the Google Doc if you'd like, or?
What do you want from the Google Docs? The slides or the document?
The slides.
I think Mariana is suggesting to present the slides.
Okay.
Yes, because you sent the version yesterday or this morning. I forgot it.
Yesterday my time, yeah. So I can show it from here. Hold on a second. Okay, I have the, so I just keep share my screen here.
Yes, please.
Sure.
Okay. And, okay. Share. So
you can see it now.
You can see it now? Okay. So I don't see that we connect, so you will help me with a queue if there are any questions or something. You still see it?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yeah, we see it.
Okay, so I think we agree that we were going to do a very small update as to our work progress and then open up for questions. So this is kind of the direction of these slides. It's a brief summary of the objective of the Vanian group, which is determine the Vanian relationships with other related scripts, such as Cyrillic, Greek, and Armenian, and also analyze variant relationships within the Latin script itself. The scope course is going to be MSR2 and the Latin GP repertoire here, and maybe this is a, and I put both of them because in the past we discussed that potentially we were going to go outside MSR2, but that's not the case based on recent discussions. Happy to remove the second bullet there and just state that the scope, the maximum scope, is going to be MSR2. So let me know now or during email. Yep.
Dennis, there are – so Matt's raised his hand, and I'd like to put myself in the queue after him as well.
Yeah.
Sure.
Matt, please.
Let's hear it. Yep.
Yeah. Yes. It's probably unlikely that we need to have something in, but we might. So I think it's correct as it is, because we will find something. We have found some code points outside of MSR2 that we want to discuss, potentially want to discuss with integration panel. So I don't think that we now should say that there is nothing outside of MSR2 that we want to try to get in. And then it wouldn't mean MSR2, actually. It would mean MSR3 or 4. So MSR2 and Latin GP repertoire is what you work with right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so thank you, Matt. And I just want to respond to your comments. I think what you're saying is true, but also the other way around now, I remember, right? because we are doing parallel work now. We don't know what the end Latin repertoire is going to be. So it's either going to be equal to MSR2 or beyond or a subset of MSR2, right? So right now, the Banyan subgroup is working, looking at MSR2, and at the end of the day, when we have the final repertoire, we might need to either expand relationships or remove Banyan relationships because of code points that were removed from MSR2 but didn't make into the repertoire. So I think now that I remember what was the rationale of our work, I think these two bullets still apply. We just need to qualify the each one of those. Tarma, please.
Right. So just a minor comment. MSR2 here obviously does this strictly mean the two bullets which are in objectives, because MSR2 is a larger document, right, which has many scripts. So are we strictly talking about Latin script plus Cyrillic, Greek, and Armenian scripts? It's in the bulletin objectives, but when you write scope and just MSR2, it could actually be ambiguous whether you're talking just about Latin script or you're talking about Latin, Cyrillic, Greek, and Armenian script, or you're actually talking about all the other scripts as well.
Right. Thank you, Sam. I think it's going to be valuable to remove that ambiguity and explain. Yeah, MSR, we're talking about MSR2 based on our objectives, right? It's Latin script or within script binary relationships and related scripts as to Cyrillic, Greek, and Armenian, but we're only going to look at those code points that are within MSR2 and even farther, right? They are not only MSR2, but they are the subset of code points selected by the generation, each of these generation panels. Okay, any other comments or questions? I'm taking note, I need to do a little bit more of qualification here under scope.
Max,
is there
Max has the hand. Please, Max.
Right. Yes, the next slide that we see, analysis of variance, sample for analysis. So these normalization exceptions, I think
okay.
It would be good
Max,
if you... If
just hold on a second, just yeah. Let me finish with the first. So what... So I'm at presentation mode. So are you looking at the presentation mode screen or the one slide?
What do you share?
Dennis, we are actually getting a view of two slides from your screen, the current slide and the next slide.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So, yeah,
because
I'm in the presentation mode, yeah. So let me exit this show and just use this one.
In the meantime, please, Michael, what is your comment?
Yes, thank you. I just want to ask if the first line, determined variant relationship with other related scripts, was overly precise and that this should be weakened, something like study first variant relationships with other related scripts. Because I think this is what we set out in the process at first, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure. Thank you.
Michael, I think you are correct. Our intention was to start with the related scripts and then expand as we see fit. So let me clarify that too.
This is Sarmat. I'd like to get in the queue.
Please, Sarmat. I don't see your hand. Please.
Yes. Again, a small comment in principles. The first line, which says relationship of two characters is sufficiently universal across the The entire, okay, so you're talking about two code points.
Within, yeah, well, yeah, I didn't want to just code points because it could be also sequences, so I want to abstract at two characters, right?
Okay, sure, understand that. Thanks.
Yeah. And maybe I just removed sequences there. It just two graphemes or two glyphs. I don't know how, just, you know, I wanted to use a friendly term, but it could be two code points or a code point sequence with a code point. And so all those combinations.
Sure. That works. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so since we are in principles, so the principles is for within script, the relationship of these two glyphs or characters, copons or copon sequences have to be universally, sufficiently universal across the entire script community. And for related scripts, we're looking at visually identical glyphs per the procedure. Okay, any comments on this slide before moving on to the next one? Okay, hearing
Michael, I suggested.
Michael?
Yes, Michael? You're asking about terminology, characters, sequences. I was suggesting simply a relationship of two or more elements. Maybe that would be a compromise or an in-between solution. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that term. Element, you say?
Sorry, I said instead of relationship of two characters or sequences, because you were asking about the justified right terminology, I was suggesting of two or more elements instead.
Elements, okay.
If that works.
I think it does for me, so. Yes, Mirjana?
No, I just wanted to ask you to proceed to the next slide if we have finished with the first slide.
Sure. All right. Let's move on. So
yeah,
the next
please.
One, how is our analysis done? Basically, we're taking some of the use cases from the previous Latin VIP study, and we wanted to give example as to what do we mean by visually identical glyphs. So just to give away an example of the Latin and Cyrillic relationships or a code point. So we're looking exactly, and maybe to clarify the concept, we should put something that is not a visually identical example as well, so that it makes clear what's perhaps deemed as confusable, visually similar as different as visually identical. Okay. Well, I'm going to do that. The next case, we are going to look at orthographic considerations, such as the asset in German. So we know there are certain languages treat a sequence of characters equal to another one based on historic reason. So we're going to look at those and make a determination whether they are universally accepted in the script. And lastly, normalization exceptions. Can't find a example that we can use here, but the concept is that when two copon sequences do not normalize to the same canonical form, those are the things that we are going to look at and see whether, based on the repertoire work, we're going to look at those cases and determine whether a sufficient binding relationship exists or not. And Matt, I think you had a question on this one.
You need to give an example. I don't understand at all what you mean.
There are examples.
A lot of
yes, go ahead.
I mean, a lot of pairs that don't normalize to the same canonical form. But there must be something more than that.
What more than that?
Well, A and B, they don't normalize to the same canonical form. But that's not what you mean. You mean something else. So what
A
is
and B.
what is lacking small letter
okay.
A?
Okay.
And
I think I understand. So yeah. So what it's missing is here two sequences that look the same, but they are derived from different sequences, and they do not normalize to the same canonical form. Is that what you're looking for?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So I'll make that clarification. Yeah.
Please find an example. Maybe I could help you.
Yeah, we tried and couldn't find one in Latin script. I mean, I think there are others in other scripts that in Latin script we don't know, and we just wanted to keep our eyes open in case you guys in the repertoire team find any of these cases. Okay, any more questions on slide 2? None? Okay, so let's move on to next one. So here, so slide 1 and 2 is basically a short summary of what we are going to do or what we're doing, and slide 3 and 4 is more on what are the issues that we're finding now, what's the status of now, what are the items that we have found so far that we would like clarification as to reaching out to the City League panel or the integration panel. So this is it's still a working process as we develop our buy-in table between Latin and City League scripts. And so here are just a few of the examples that we found on the City League analysis. For example, I mean, we analyzed the City League panel proposal of buy-in relationships, in which one of those scope points are outside the repertoire, so we would like to ask the City League panel as to the rationale of that. We also found additional identical glyphs between Latin and City League, but the panel didn't flag them or determine there was a non-veteran relationship between those scope points, so we would like to ask as to the rationale. And I think as we finish our analysis, we'll find more of those cases to bring on the table during the session at ICANN or outside, just talking to the City League panel guys and the integration panel as well. Any questions on slide number 3? I think it's pretty straightforward. This will evolve as to in the next few days. Or maybe not, I don't know. We'll just bring a notepad with the questions to the panel. And number 4 is just next steps. So what's next step? It's basically we're going to continue with other scripts, Greek and Armenian, and to make us point others as we see fit. And then we are going to save Latin script for the end of our work, so that we have more time for the repertoire to develop the list of code points, so we can work on a more final work product. And that's it. So 4 slides, quick short summary of what we are intending to do, where we are, what are the issues we are encountering, and then next steps.
Okay. Any comments? Because we are 10 minutes after the hour, we spent more time during this meeting, but I think it was very useful. So I will share my presentation when it is final to the group and ask for additional comments. Matt please try to make some presentation till the 6th of October. And that's all for today. I don't. Is there any other issues we can discuss now? But we are passing. We spent the 10 minutes more to this meeting, so I want to. Matt is typing something, and when he finishes his typing, I want to close this meeting for today. And thank you very much for attending this meeting, and hear you next time. Okay, Sarmat. Some people are typing. Yeah, thank you, Matt. You have Matt has started to make a presentation, so he will probably share it on the mail, and please send him comments that he could improve his presentation. And that's all for today. Thank you very much to everybody. And we can close the meeting for today. Thank you all. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.